John Wooden said, "The little things are not little things. They make the big things happen." Grand Rising Freedom Crusaders, this is Ashley Casper Rising with you on the Grow Rich Mastermind here on the Good News Network. We love to gather here to remind each other of what is possible in this life and learning the foundation of what is required to create a life of more freedom and abundance. I'm so grateful to be with you, and I'm happy that you're here with us as well. It is June 3rd, 2026, and our enthusiastic host and the founder of this amazing call, Paul Hutchings, will be with us in just a bit. Paul Hutchings is a former call center cubicle worker who went from living in a 1984 single-wide trailer house to retiring debt-free in his early 40s. He has been a top producer in the home business profession since 2009, and he has co-founded a company that's paid out over $7 million in commissions. His main passion in business is to help lead the Freedom Crusade by inspiring and empowering others to achieve their financial goals and dreams in life. Cannot wait to hear what Paul has for us today, but before I do, I want to hear from all of you. So as I unmute the lines, please let me know what your name is and where you're calling in from this morning.
Ashley, good morning.
Hey, Albie, Grand Rising, good to hear you.
What's up,
Grand
Albie?
Rising family, it's Angela Mazin in Northern California.
What's up, Angela?
Good morning, Angela.
Hey, Albie.
I'm just coming on the call to do the Dougie.
Hey. Oh, my gosh.
Grand Happy Rising.
It's Booker.
Never give up. Grand Rising. Great to hear you.
Merry
Christmas.
Hey, Albie.
Yes, yes, the best day, the best call, the best time ever.
Yes.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
The best
go,
part of waking
go.
Up.
Go!
Where's the energy? Paul has got it this morning.
Freedom! Paul Walt! Let's go!
Let's
don't
go,
you like
the
that
man with the master
sound.
Plan.
Freedom.
First be Utah.
The P, the A, the U, the L.
Morning, young
Rich. Yeah, you
Cat from North Texas.
Welcome, welcome.
Hey,
what's Kat. Up, Cat?
Hey,
Cat. Let's go, Cat.
Hey, Kathy.
Rita John, Mama.
Good morning.
Good
morning, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Mama Jody, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Kentucky and Evan. Glad to have you guys this morning.
Beautiful day.
Freedom,
let's move forward. Let's go.
Let's go. Paul Wall is getting warmed up.
Anita.
One minute to countdown.
Is in the house.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah. With the grill.
Ready to go.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another edition of the Grow Rich Mastermind. Thank you so much for deciding to pick up the phone or click play on the replay, however you got here. So glad you're here. This is a call that is amazing, is awesome and amazing, as Pat Simpson used to say. It's a place where people throughout the world can tune in and touch light, touch hope, touch faith, touch purpose, touch discipline, touch wisdom, and be reminded as we're filled up with good stuff that we have greatness within, that we have better things waiting for us in our future, that picking up the load is worth picking up because we've got better things waiting for us today and tomorrow and the day after that. It's a call that's meant to remind us that wherever we're at today is not where we have to be a month from now, a year from now, a decade from now. No, we can be in a different place. We can have more money. We can have better health. We can have fuller and richer relationships. We can have greater sense of meaning and contribution and purpose. All the good things that life has to offer are waiting for us today as we take aim and take action. So thank you for being here. We're going to go through some reading today. We've got some announcements today. We've got a good message to go through today. And, of course, we've got the mastermind that we're going to go into where we get to listen to each other and hear what's on the minds and in the hearts of the people out there. And, you know, our grand goal here, in addition to growing ourselves, is to help people build freedom, to disconnect their time from their money, so that they can be more in control over their lives and specifically their time. Their time, their time, your time. Our time on this earth is limited. I always appreciate reminding myself of that fact. I don't know if we can remind ourselves too much of that fact. We have a limited amount of time. And when we're aware of limit, we tend to value what is limited a little bit more. In fact, as a side note, we recently did a webinar, last week it was, and this is really something to pay attention to, and it relates to what I just said, and it can relate to helping us all create more wealth in life. All throughout the last 10 years that I've been a co-founder of a company, we wrestled with some ideas. So one thing that I like about kids, and especially certain kids, I have one kid, he's our youngest, his name is Cashton. And one thing that I love about Cashton that also drives me crazy at the same time is he's always challenging us, mom and me. He's always challenging us. Hey, Cashton, here's the way it is. Well, no, it's not. Why? Why do I need to do that? You know, he's always challenging us. And I think that's a good quality to be challenging things. Now, there's a line that we can cross where if we are too challenging, then we step over a line into this thing called arrogance and ego. And that's not a good thing, because if we're arrogant and if our ego is too big, then we really limit our ability to learn and grow. Elon Musk said in the book of the month from last month, you always want to be smashing your ego. Always be smashing your ego so we can learn. But nonetheless, the curious mind that challenges is a good thing. So that being said, when Mike and I started the business that we're building with many of the people here today are also building that business or a similar type of business for growing residual income from home, Mike and I decided to question everything, and we said, you know, all these things we've been taught for all these years, are they really necessary? And why are they necessary? And maybe we can do things differently, you know, because we've gone quite a long time in this dream of building residual income, and what happened for both of us was after a decade or so, we realized we didn't actually have any residual income. And the reason, well, I don't know the reason for sure. We have some theories. You know, companies go out of business, companies change comp plan. There's a whole list of things that may have been the cause. But the point is, we said we need to do something different. And as a result of doing the something different, we said we need to question everything, and we need to figure out what are the different things we could do so that we can maybe have a different result. So we question things. We question, hey, should you even have these live events? You know, because for all through our home business career, there were leaders who would hype up these events. You got to buy a ticket to the event. You got to go to the event. If you don't go to the event, you don't care about your family. You know, we're like, is that really true? Is that really true? What if we didn't have live events? I wonder if that would work. You know, and Mike and I are like, well, you know, making money really results from selling a product or a service. It has nothing to do with going to an event. So is it really true that you can't make money if you don't go to an event? So we question that. And, you know, Angela Amazing and Bill Moist and a few others, we're kind of spearheading, hey, on the Grow Rich call, we need to get together. We need to have a family reunion once a year because we want to see each other. So So we had that going on. All at the same time, Mike and I were like, yeah, we're not going to hype up events. We're not going to do events. We're just going to see if you can actually make money without doing it the way that everyone else did it for the first few years of our home business career. So what happened was we started doing these Grow Rich family reunions. We called them the Tagger Family Reunion, Think and Grow Rich Family Reunion. And I remember the first one, it was in Branson, Missouri. And it was, we didn't have any training. We didn't have any classes. We just showed up to have fun and hang out with each other. And it was such a wonderful experience. We had so much fun. We connected. We built relationships. We had this sense of, you know, higher purpose, because everyone that came there, we were from kind of different walks of life, different faiths, different races, different, all those different things. But when we came together, we were totally unified and in harmony, and there was no division, and there was no judgment, and there was no separation. There was just a sense of love. And so we really loved that experience. And Mike and I walking out of that reunion, we said, I don't know what this was, but whatever it was, it needs to continue. So that was going on. And then at the same time, as I mentioned, we were questioning whether you should have events. And so we were like, well, all right, if we do have events, why? What is the purpose of an event? Is it to train people? And we're thinking, well, you train all day long, almost. Like we have digital products we sell, there's conference calls, there's, you know, webinars. I mean, you're training, you're reading books, like everyone's training. So do we really need to get together to have quote unquote training? And so we're thinking about that, and we're like, well, maybe not. So what is the value of getting together at a live event? And the more we thought about it, the more we realized that the real value was actually relationship and connection and belief. As you come together in authenticity and you get to know each other and you hear each other's stories and you build this, it's almost like you're taking this little tree and you're pouring water on it so the roots can go down into the ground. And that, I think, is one of the big values if you're building a business from home of having an in-person event. And then so we started doing these Freedom Fest events. And by the way, if you don't know about Freedom Fest, go check it out, hbafreedomfest.com. You can learn about it, see if you want to get a ticket to go. Up to you, of course. But after we did a few of these events, then what happened was Mike and I were in – we were in southern Utah. I had driven down there to do some planning with him for the event that we had coming up. And we asked ourselves this question. Okay, I wonder if the events that we've been having have any business relationship statistic that we could uncover. Because we were actually, one of the things we'd met together to do was to record the video for the sales page for the event. And we said, well, let's look this up. So we pulled the numbers of all the people who had attended the Freedom Fest events, both in person and also on the recording. And we wanted to know, is there a difference in retention for the people who attended the event versus the people who did not attend the event? And what we found blew our minds, literally blew our minds. We discovered that of all the people that bought a ticket to the event, the retention rate was over 95% among the people who bought a ticket to the event. It was a little higher for the ones who attended in person, but not much. Even the people who bought a ticket, a live stream ticket, was still up there. Versus the ones who didn't buy a ticket to the event, the retention rate was a lot lower. And we thought, wow, okay. So I guess that's why leaders all throughout our first decade of home business have put such an emphasis on attending these events? And then here's what Mike and I said. Why didn't they just tell us this? instead of hyping it up and using pressure and manipulation and all kinds of over-the-top sales strategies, why didn't they just tell us that if you want to sustain a residual income that is solid and stable, the reason you might want to go to the event is because it is going to increase the retention of you yourself dramatically. And why is that? You think about it. If someone goes to an event or buys a ticket to an event, their belief level is a little higher in purchasing the ticket. But when you get to the event and you spend a couple of days having your belief strengthened, it makes sense that you would be more likely to stick around to something if your belief is higher, if your relationships are stronger, if you have more trust and belief in the people that you've spent that time with. It makes sense that your retention would be higher, right? It does. It makes a lot of sense when you think about it logically. And so we said they should have just told us that attending the event is probably the most important thing you can do if you want to solidify residual income. Now, I'm not talking about making sales. I'm not talking about making some short-term commissions. You don't need an event for that. And that's what Mike and I had kind of concluded when we were thinking about it. It's like, well, you just need to make sales. But yeah, you can make sales. Doesn't need an event to make sales. But if you want your customer base and the people that you're leading and working with and leading with together, if you want that to stay around long term, then an event is a really, really important thing to do. And so that was one example of a belief that Mike and I both questioned and tried some different experiments and then finally came back around to understanding why people say events are important. And so here we are saying, okay, that's a good thing. This leads me to the thing that I was going to talk about when I started, going off on this idea. Sorry for the tangent here. But back to the time limit and how I was saying we all have a limit on our time. The other thing that we did for the first few years was whenever we would do a webinar, we would leave the webinar up all month long. And part of the reason was because we're like, well, we like the idea of abundance. We don't really like the idea of scarcity. And so, let's just leave it up. Let's not use deadlines. Let's not use, expiring soon. And we'd also seen, people using these deadlines in fake ways where that they're just it's totally fake. And so we did that. But then earlier this year, we had the idea, well, what if we did have a time where we take the webinar down and we actually do take it down? And what if we have a bonus that also comes down? I wonder what would happen if we did that. So for the last few months, we've done that. We'll do the webinar and then we'll say we're taking it down this Saturday at midnight. And the result has been drastic, drastic difference. The attendance of the live webinar is way higher than it ever was the first few years with no deadline. In fact, on our last webinar, we had over 500 live attendees on that webinar. The sales have been way higher with the deadline. The people who watch the replay have been way higher with the deadline. And I'm sure people promoting the webinar replay, they've gotten similar results. And through this last week, someone asked me, I think it was Michael, and I think he was on the call yesterday. So he asked me in one of the comments, is there a reason you're taking the webinar down, asking for a friend? And I told him the truth. I said, well, basically the reason is, if we don't have a deadline, people don't value it and they don't pay attention to it and they don't watch it. They just figure, I'm It's going to be up all month long. Don't have to worry about it. So the only reason we have a deadline is because human nature requires us to have a deadline. It's human nature. When something is limited, you automatically value it more. And I remember Jim Rohn, he said, you know, some of these things you got to chalk up to mysteries of the mind. Like, why is it that we have to have a deadline so that people will pay attention? I don't know. I just know that that's the case. And I know that it works. And so that's why we have a deadline. So back to the original thought. Life is limited. We all have a limit on our time. And being consciously aware of that tends to help us to value the minutes and the hours a little bit more when we know there's a limit. And it helps me, at least, to strive to make better use of the time that I have. And hopefully we will all have that sense over us today, not in a scary way, but just, hey, you know, life is precious. Life is limited. Let's make good use of the time we have. Let's put as much value as we can into the time we have. Let's serve as many people as we can in the time we have. Let's have good, harmonious experiences with people, relationships. Let's be positive and uplifting as much as we can with the time we have, and we'll experience a better experience of life, I think. So anyway, guys, thanks for listening to that. Let me quickly unmute the lines, then we'll go through the announcements and then get into the reading. I want to ask you guys, are you excited to be live? Are you grateful for the gift of another day? Thank you, Ashley, for the great introduction today. Also, by the way, are you excited to take some action today and make some good stuff happen in the world? If so, let's hear how you're feeling as I unmute the lines right now. Hello.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, we got a lot of people and energy here. Thank you. You guys sound great. All right. Let's just, Angela, do you want to come out and lead us through our definite purpose and self-confidence formula?
Yes, sir. I am ready.
All right.
Thank you, Brother Paul. I love my Grow Rich family. My Grow Rich family, I salute the divinity in you, my major definite purpose. It is now on or before, and I have in my possession, which has come to me from time to time over the interim, in return for this, I happily gave the most effective service in which I was capable of rendering in the fullest possible quantity in the best possible quality of service in the capacity of a Freedom Crusader. I know that I have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see it before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It was awaiting transfer to me all along. At the time and the proportion I delivered the service I intended to render in return for it, I am so grateful that I have received these plans by which to achieve these desires, and I am following these plans as they are received, and there's being more and more plans received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action towards its attainment, and I here and now promise to surrender such actions. Second, I realize that the dominating thoughts of my mind are reproducing themselves outwardly into physical action and gradually transforming themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I concentrate my thoughts for at least 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person that I am, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that amazing person. Third, I know that through the principles of auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind is now seeking expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of even more self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will continue to endeavor until I have developed self-sufficient confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built under truth and justice. Therefore, I only engage in transactions that benefit all whom they affect. I succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I have eliminated hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, cynicism, and egotism by developing love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I cause others to believe in me because I believe in them and in myself. I have signed my name to this formula. I have committed it to memory, and I'm repeating it out loud at least twice a day with full faith that it is gradually influencing my thoughts and my actions so that I am an even more self-reliant and successful person. Oh, divine providence, I do ask for more riches and for more wisdom for to make wiser use of the riches you gave me at birth, consisting in the power to control and to direct my own mind and thoughts to whatever ends that I might desire in alignment with your will for my life, to prosper and to be in health even as my soul prospers, according to 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, in the divine's name, amen, so be it. Back to you, my brother Paul, and I love you, my Grow Rich family. Woo-woo! Yes!
Woo-woo! Love you, Angela. You're so amazing. Friends and Freedom Crusaders, if you appreciate Angela, let's let her know.
Wow!
Yeah, Angela!
Oh,
yeah.
Love you!
Oh, yeah! All right, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Enemy of character this month to be aware of is greed. Opposite of greed, of course, is generosity. And the book of the month this month is The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. So you can check that out if you want something to read that you don't already, if you don't already have something you're reading outside of the mastermind. Also, if you're new to the call, we have a Grow Rich Mastermind Collection, which is the books that we study here together. So if you want that, get back with whoever invited you here today, and they can get that to you. It's free, just a set of digital books and resources that we use to guide ourselves and our community forward. So we are reading a tricky little book, but we're going to finish it. We got a few pages left. It's called Compensation by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Why do we read this book? Well, because Napoleon Hill was a big fan. And Napoleon Hill, it, you know, provides the most of what we study on this call, Think and Grow Rich, The Laws of Success. And he mentions Emerson multiple times throughout his writing, and this essay specifically. So even though it might stretch the mind a little bit, we like to get through this every once in a while. So let's jump into it. We're on page 19. And it starts off at the top. How secret art thou who dwellest in the high heavens in silence, O thou only great God, sprinkling with an unwearied providence certain penal blindnesses upon such as have unbridled desire. The human soul is true to these facts in the painting of fable, of history, of law, of proverbs, of conversation. It finds a tongue in literature unawares. Thus the Greeks called Jupiter supreme mind, but having traditionally ascribed to him many base actions, they involuntarily made amends to reason by tying up the hands of so bad a god. He is made as helpless as a king of England. Prometheus knows one secret, which love must bargain for, Minerva another. He cannot get his own thunders, Minerva keeps the key of them. Of all the gods, I only know the keys that ope the solid doors within whose vault his thunders sleep. A plain confession of the inworking of the all and of its moral aim. The Indian mythology ends in the same ethics, and it would seem impossible for any fable to be invented and get any currency which was not moral. Aurora forgot to ask youth for her lover, and though Tithonus is immortal, he is old. Achilles is not quite invulnerable. The sacred waters did not wash the heel by which Thetis held him. Siegfried in the Nibelungen is not quite immortal, for a leaf fell on his back whilst he was bathing in the dragon's blood, and that spot which is covered is mortal, and so must be. Okay, here we go. Here's some useful stuff, I think. There is a crack in everything God has made. It would seem there is always this vindictive circumstance stealing in at unawares, even into the wild posy in which the human fancy attempted to make bold holiday and to shake itself free of the old laws. This backstroke, this kick of the gun, certifying that the law is fatal, that in nature nothing can be given, all things are sold. That's a great line. In nature nothing can be given, all things are sold. This, I mean, think about someone gives you a gift. Is there any responsibility we have back to that person? Do we feel a sense of responsibility? Someone gives you their loyalty, their trust, their belief, their time. Do you owe anything back to that person? I mean, these are interesting questions to think about. To me, I think it's almost like there is an invisible contract that exists between souls that we sign knowingly or unknowingly and fulfill or unfulfill, but that contract carries benefits and penalties, whether we know the contract has been signed or not. You know, it's like, why should you not steal? A lot of reasons for that, but one might be there is an invisible contract that exists between souls. And if you steal from one, you have violated a contract. And there are penalties that come from violating that contract. So so what he said, you know, that all things in nature, all things are sold. Nothing can be given. This is that ancient doctrine of Nemesis who keeps watch in the universe and lets no offense go unchastised. The Furies, they said, are attendants on justice. And if the sun in heaven should transgress his path, they would punish him. The poets related that stone walls and iron swords and leathern thongs had an occult sympathy with the wrongs of their owners. That the belt with which Ajax gave Hector dragged the Trojan hero over the fields, that the wheel of the car of Achilles and the sword which Hector gave Ajax. We really need to make a simplified version of this. I apologize. I think we will make a simplified version of this because there's a lot of literature, references in literature that I'm guessing many of us are completely just lost on. At least I am. And I like to consider myself a fairly well-read person. So anyway, he says, this voice of fables has in it somewhat divine. It came from thought above the will of the writer. That is the best part of each writer, which has nothing private in it. That which he does not know, that which flowed out of his constitution and not from his too active invention. That which in the study of a single artist you might not easily find, but in the study of many you would abstract as the spirit of them all. And that's an interesting thought. Study of a lot of artists, you might abstract a spirit that all of them carry. When we think about success and when we talk about principles, you know, freedom through principle-centered leadership, what are the principles? The principles are the study of all of many successful people or the study of all successful people. And we say, what is the spirit that inhabits them all that we can abstract and then we can embody that spirit as well? you know, and Napoleon Hill did such a great job of outlining these principles that seem to be various attributes of the spirit of success, having a purpose, having confidence, having faith, showing initiative and leadership, having imagination, having vision, persisting through unimaginable setbacks and challenges and trials and failures, but you persist because you've got something inside of you. You've got that spirit driving you on. These are some of the little principles that kind of are attached to that spirit of success that can be abstracted from the study of many different people. This is why if you're a student of Napoleon Hill and you've read the book Think and Grow Rich and you've read The Laws of Success, it's why when you then listen to words of someone like an Elon Musk or some other current modern day successful entrepreneur, you sit there and say, wow, like did he read this book Think and Grow Rich? And he or she quite likely may have never read the book Think and Grow Rich. But there are many commonalities that you will hear from the successful people of today that were written about in the 1930s. How can that be? Was Napoleon Hill a prophet? No. What did he do? He abstracted the spirit of success, and people of success today carry that same spirit. I think that's just an interesting thought. But continuing on, he says, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. Still more striking is the expression of this fact in the Proverbs of all nations, which are always the literature of reason or the statements of an absolute truth without qualification. Proverbs, like the sacred books of each nation, are the sanctuary of intuitions. The sanctuary of intuitions. That which the droning world chained to appearances will not allow the realist to say in his own words, it will suffer him to say in Proverbs without contradiction. And this law of laws, which the pulpit, the Senate, and the college deny, is hourly preached in all the markets and workshops by flights of Proverbs, whose teaching is as true and as omnipresent as that of birds and flies. All things are double one against another, tit for tat, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, blood for blood, measure for measure, love for love. Given it shall be given you. He that watereth shall be watered himself. What will you have? Quoth God, pay for it and take it. Nothing venture, nothing have. Thou shalt be paid exactly for what thou hast done, no more, no less. Who doth not work shall not eat. Harm watch, harm catch. Curses always recoil on the head of him who utters them. If you put a chain around the neck of a slave, the other end fastens itself around your own. Bad counsel confounds the advisor. The devil is an ass. And that's a good line to end on. So there are hints, I think, in some of these lines, hints of wisdom, hints that point to something that sometimes it's hard to consciously understand, but more easy to intuitively understand. And I remember one other line from this book that I really love, and I always think of when I think of this book, Compensation, and I think has the most practical application for our lives and understanding what maybe this book is pointing to and how we can use it. And the line is this: the dice of God are always loaded. The dice of God are always loaded. What is loaded dice? In Vegas, if you've got loaded dice, it means the dice are weighted so that when you throw the dice, your numbers always come up. So the dice of God are always loaded, to me, means that there is a hidden but sure order in the universe. In other words, is God going to roll dice and just leave it up to chance? Or is God going to have some sort of underlying law that flows through the fabric of reality, whereby if we can find that law and put ourselves in tune with it, we can be sure, too, to have our numbers come up as well. Jim Rohn used to call this the setup. he said, you know, you come on this planet, this floating ball, and, you know, he says, imagine there's this big monstrous thing that raises off the ground and then comes and slaps back on the ground and shakes the ground. And then everyone's like, whoa, what's going on? This thing's hitting the ground. And then it raises back up and then it falls back down and hits the ground. Ah, what's going on? What is this thing? And what Jim Rohn said, he was using this as an example to say, you could look at that thing and you could say, what in the world is going on? Who set this up? This is the most stupid setup that I could ever imagine. This big, monstrous object is just rising up and then smashing down on the ground. What an idiotic thing. And Jim Rohn said, you have the right to say that. You have the right to judge the setup, but what might be a little smarter is to get out of the way so you don't get hit by the falling thing. So in other words, he said, you've got to learn the setup. You can criticize the setup. You can hate the setup if you want. But for heaven's sakes, learn the setup. Learn the rules of the game. Learn what's going on. And in Emerson terms, you know, learn that the dice of God are always loaded. Learn that there are some laws that we can put ourselves in harmony with that help us to get out of the way of that thing that's rising up and comes crashing down. So I like to think these are principles, and I like to think that that's why we study principles on this call, and that's why our vision is freedom through principle-centered leadership, because if you can understand the setup, aka the principles that can lead to success, and if we can harmonize ourselves with those things, then it is more likely that we will find and maintain success as we continue to move forward in life. So I'm done talking. Thanks for sticking with us through some of that really, really dense wording and confusion. And excited to hear what's on your mind. Please feel free to share what's bubbled up for you, what's going on in your life and business. You got anything exciting going on? You had any recent successes? Have you had any recent aha moments that you can share with the group? Would love to hear. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless leaders are part of our community. Brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. Let me get the lines in the right. Star 61st, come on.
Kevin Souza.
Hey, good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you for your reading. And I wanted to let everybody know, folks, you know, Paul referenced the PDF readings that you can get from the person who invited you here. I don't know if any of you know this, but Paul worked extensively, manually, on many of those. And I'm sure that just took hours and hours and hours. Well, yesterday, Paul referenced something, and he referenced it again today, simplifying the book Compensation, which has 40 pages. And so I have done that. Now, it's to be reviewed because it's not something that I can approve to be approved. I said to AI, hey, the following PDF needs editing. It's Ralph Waldo Emerson's essay, Compensation, from 1841, as part of his collection titled Essays First Series. Now, it's not copyrighted. I want to edit all 40 pages of this PDF because much of the language is 185 years old, and I want to be able to read it and, more importantly, understand it better. So here's what I'd like to do. Read each and every sentence in the PDF and change/modify the text in every sentence to modern, understandable language, including changing the hard-to-understand words without changing the meaning of each sentence, while at the same time maintaining the context of each sentence. Please preserve the existing font styling as closely as possible, the decorative graphics at the beginning, the Grow Rich audio logo footer elements, the page number elements, and overall visual feel layout structure of the original PDF. Please do a true sentence-by-sentence modernization instead of a quick summary, and take care to preserve Emerson's actual meaning while making it genuinely readable. Now, I don't have time to read his response to me, but this process, he told me at first, was going to take 2 hours. Well, frankly, it's been 3 hours as of now. He just completed all of the book, and now he's formatting all the graphics that belong in the PDF. So when that's done, Paul, I'll just shoot that over to you so you can look at it, review it. But I'll tell you what, this saves hours and hours that you have spent in the past. And I figured that, hey, let me take the initiative and contribute to the team, and we'll see how this PDF looks. Back to you, Paul.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, look forward to seeing that and appreciate it. I think it's needed if we're going to continue to read this book on the call. So thank you. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, Paul.
Rita Joy.
Hi. Who was that?
Rita Joy's first. She beat you, Albie.
Thank you. I love being a lady sometimes. Hey, thank you. Hi, family. So I've been wanting to come out actually for the last few calls, and just, you know, timing is everything. So I guess I was meant to come out now. But I also wanted to shout out Jessie Joyous Jenkins, because Kevin, she did the same thing. She took initiative and leadership and got with AI. Now, I don't know if hers was quite as extensive, but she put some stuff on the Facebook wall, and I read it, and it helped me understand the Book of Compensation so much more than I ever have, even though I felt like I was getting it on some level. And I wanted to just also appreciate Jesse taking that initiative and leadership to help us all, you know, get it. And I wanted to tell a little story, and of course it's a mama story because that's my whole life right now. And you see, mama, or always mama, likes to go wherever I go. And we were helping a friend move some clothes the other day and ended up needing to you know, do something for an hour until the place was ready. And so we decided to go out to eat. Well, I'm learning each time I do it that it's harder and harder to get mama in and out of restaurants. But we were sitting on the balcony, and by the end of the meal, she was determined that she needed to go to the bathroom, and I tried to explain how far of a walk it was from where we were to the back to the restroom. Anyway, she insisted. She's stubborn like me, or that's where I get it. It takes us a long time on our walk, or halfway down we have to rest. Anyway, we get to the back, get her business done, and then I'm parked in the back. I said, let's just go ahead and get in the van. I get her outside. These two strangers came up to help me with her, because somehow I needed to leave her, go get the van, and come up as close as I could. And these two ladies were so nice, but turns out they had had some margaritas, so they weren't really the best babysitters at the time. And they disappeared. I'm pulling the van as close as I can get it, and I looked over there, and with tears in my eyes, I see Brandon, Christian's second son, who was also with us up at the front, but he didn't know all this was happening. I think he just came to check on us. And he was all Mama had, because the other two girls had flitted off, and he was helping Mama get up this little hill and over to the van. And the reason I bring this up is because compensation, karma, spiritual give and take, because for 6 years I helped Christian take care of his mama, who was Brandon's grandmother. And now, you know, Christian, it's not meant for him to be here to help me with my mother. But there was his son, and I felt like he filling in for Christian, you know, like, what would Dad do? Well, Dad would be helping, and he just was right there. And I don't know, it just really touched me. I had a real spiritual moment, and I thought of this book, Compensation. And I just wanted to shout that out. And also, somebody brought up drifting the last couple of days. We've talked about drifting, and I think it was mostly kind of a bad thing, like you don't want to be a drifter. But sometimes in life, you're meant to drift. Like, I kind of feel like I'm drifting now because my mama is drifting. It's hard for me to say, swim, mama, swim, you know, come on. We can keep going towards the shore, whatever. We can keep making progress, but she's tired of swimming. Sometimes she just wants to drift, and it forces me to have to drift. And I watched that movie Castaway the other night, and he was forced to drift. He didn't have a choice but to drift with Tom Hanks. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's an amazing movie. And I don't know, those are just my little thoughts lately I've been wanting to share. Thank you, Paul. I love all of y'all.
Love it, Rita Joy. Such a great story. Way to go, Brandon. Thank you, Rita Joy. That was great.
Love you.
All right, Albie. Yeah, I love you too. Albie, come on out.
Thanks, Paul. And, wow, what a story, Rita Joy. Thanks for sharing that. That's amazing. Yeah, Paul, that was really great this morning, how you talked about, you know, life and how precious it is and human nature about, you know, giving a time span and how people, you know, when they realize it's limited, they take advantage of it a lot more. And, you know, I love the 10 scrolls and the greatest salesman in the world. And there's one scroll that says, you know, I live this day as if it is my last. And there's three sections in there. And the first says, I won't spill my life. Like as if your life was in a container, you know, you shake it around and you can spill it, you know, but you don't want to spill your life. You want to pretend like, you know, not pretend. You want to make it valuable, so you want to protect it from spilling. And that always hits me because I'm like, how do you spill your life? How do you waste your life, you know? And a few things that popped up in my head was, you know, if you, you know, using anger when maybe you could be a little bit more patient, it was kind of like wasting your life. You know, and allowing yourself to do things to hurt others and when you don't, when that's not really a good idea, that's kind of wasting your life as well. And also the three concepts about, you know, not 1 hour of your day you're going to get back. You know, not 1 hour. You're not going to get 1 hour back. And God, it makes you think, oh, okay, oh, right. Wow, well, I guess I should appreciate them, you know. And the other one is how each minute is priceless, because, you know, if you were on your deathbed and you only had, you know, if you could pay all the money for some more time, you know, how much money would you pay? It makes you realize, well, yeah, every second is really valuable. And then the conclusion of it is, well, if every minute is valuable, then why not enjoy it? Why not really, you know, find that happiness from having it? And so I just wanted to throw that in with everything you said. I thought what you were talking about this morning was really awesome, and applying it to business was fantastic. And I remember being part of network marketing companies and having that same, you know, how many people can you get to the convention, you know, and this crazy drive to get everybody there. And it was almost like it was like part of the formula, and you dare not, you know, question it. But I'm really glad you guys did question it and find out the truth of it. That's awesome. Anyway, just wanted to share that. Thank you, Paul.
I love it, Albie. And one thing that bubbled up for me on the spilling, it's like if you had a cup of water, how many trees could you water? Like if you put a little drop on a bunch of different trees versus putting all your water on one tree. I don't know. To me, that's like focus, you know, like don't spill your water, pour it somewhere that's going to do the most good. I don't know. I thought of that. I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Albie.
Oh, it's good. Yeah.
Thank you. Jesse, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Paul. Loved the conversation. A lot to think about in all of what you said. I loved what Albie just mentioned as well. And when you mentioned about, you know, how many trees could we water, I think what came up for me immediately was being very intentional about what it is that we do, that I feel sometimes we throw emails and we throw posts at people and we want to add value. We know that we want to first have people understand who we are, trust us, let them know we care, that maybe there are things that we maybe they would resonate with a story or two. But in the end, at the end of every post or email, what was your total intention for that email? And at some point, I believe, we have to ask. We have to get the people to take action. And that's where I feel sometimes people are missing. What's the intention? You know, we send all this wonderful value out to people, but nothing happens. There's a point, I feel, that we need to become much more intentional and begin to ask. So that was the first thing that I thought of when when you mentioned that with the trees. And I was excited to help the understanding and the simplicity of this compensation book, and did put in a few pages on Facebook in the group. And I enjoyed it in the way it returned the information, because there was so much more clarity in just those few pages that sort of almost summed up the whole book in my mind. And obviously there's a lot more in that book, and I can't wait to see what Kevin has done. But I also wanted to demonstrate, I suppose, how incredibly valuable AI can be in tasks just like that. So I'm hoping that if you haven't seen it in the GrowRich Mastermind Facebook group, just check it out, and hopefully maybe those last few pages that were read yesterday would be a lot more clear. So back to you, Paul.
You're the best, Jesse. Great thoughts, and thank you so much for putting that in the group. Between you and Kevin and Ralph Waldo Emerson, I think we're going to figure it out.
Yes, we will.
Star 6 is next.
Hi,
Star
Joshua
6 is next. Come on out.
Joshua from the UK.
Yes. Hey, Joshua. Great to hear you.
Hi, Paul. I'm just popping out to say thank you for all you do. I do try and tune into the live calls, but I actually catch the replays every day. I have a chance to come out today, so I just want to say how grateful I am to everyone on this call and this call. So thank you so much.
Thank you. So grateful for you. And good hearing your voice, Joshna.
Thank you.
All right. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Donna.
I heard Donna and Lori Sue. Hey, let me clear the lines for you, Donna. One second. Star 6, just Donna. Come on out, Donna.
Hello, it's Donna. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. what you just said about the water reminded me of the, first of all, thank you so much for the call, and thank you, Kevin, for taking that book. I was thinking of doing the same thing myself. I just didn't have the time. But the water part that you guys were talking about reminds me of the starfish story, where the little boy is walking down the beach with his dad, and the tide went out, and all these starfish were left laying on the shore, and the little boy's running around and picking up starfish and throwing them into the water, and there's like way more starfish than the little boy can possibly pick up and throw back. And the father said, "You're not making a difference." And so the little boy picks up a starfish and throws it back out there. He says, "Sure made a difference in that starfish's life." So that's what that reminded me of, and I always love that story, because we can't help everybody, but we can help some people, and the ones that want our help will want our help and go along, and those that don't, they'll either do their own thing or find somebody else. And I love the fact that we're all in this together, and we help each other, and that we're not in competition with one another, because we each have our own little Pied Piper song that we're singing, and only the people that hear our tune, like Diane Hockman always says, it's a dog whistle, you know, and we're blowing our dog whistle, and only the dogs that hear it will follow us. So anyway, that's my two cents worth. So thank you for letting me sharing, and thank you everybody for being here, and have a blessed day.
Great thoughts, Donna. Thank you so much. Lori Sue, come on out.
Oh, man, I have so much on my mind. I'll just see if I can make it quick. So usually this is my time to hold baby Callum, and I just have been noticing that what I'm thinking in the process or how I'm feeling while I'm holding him, if he's struggling and fussy, but you can tell he's tired because he's yawning these big yawns, how I feel and what I'm thinking seems to make a huge difference as to whether he's getting calmed down or not. And so I just noticed that. So that brings me to the watering of the trees and that whole question about, you know, do I sprinkle it all out there? Or maybe what really happens is I decide that I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to think about how I'm thinking, what I'm doing with my life. Am I getting enough water myself? And in so doing, that is like the stream that we, you know, that song is in my mind now from another call, but the stream that gives as it wanders down the hill, the stream that gives wherever it goes. I'm thinking of that, thinking about also AI. And some of my friends are very adamant, not for it. As a matter of fact, my own doctor, who's incredible, I just am so grateful for him. He's a holistic doctor, and when I say whole, he really takes in everything. But he made a comment to me like, you need to know that though you're asking, you know, which is better, then I'll just leave this question, which is better to ask AI to do it for you, or maybe is it that it's important for you to connect to infinite intelligence yourself too, so that you get what you need to know and what you need to learn from it. Anyway, so those are the things I've been thinking about a lot, is how much of it is me and how much do I stay connected to my soul and what infinite intelligence is trying to teach me, and how much of it is asking AI so that maybe I can get there in a quicker way. Maybe that's a source of water. Anyway, maybe I'm rambling, but those are my thoughts that I've been thinking about. I'm so grateful that we have, when I do use AI, especially with the ones that you and Mike have created for us, that there's always that point that says, you better reread this because is it you? You know, is it really you? And is your soul there? Or is it how you would say it? Is what you would say in there? And how important that is to stay who we are, to love ourselves and water ourselves first. So that's how I get out. And I love this call because you guys help us to be individually who we are and to find out more about our own self as well as learn from each other. I just can't say enough about how grateful I am for that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Back to you.
Great thoughts, Lori Sue. And I think we're at time. One thing that I mentioned in the past that I think is a good way to look at AI, T. Harv Eker in Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, when talking about money, he said money is really good in the areas that it works and really not useful in the areas it doesn't work. And I think the same is true with AI. And it's good that we know when to use it, when it's good, and when we shouldn't totally rely on it. And intuition, you know, seems to be a human attribute. Scientific things, facts, things that are verifiable in reality, you know, AI is really good with those things. It's why AI is so good at coding, because coding is more of a logic, fact-based, deterministic discipline. And so AI can be trained really well in that area. Writing is also good. You know, it's really good at writing, but it doesn't have your perspective. It doesn't have the stories that are happening in your life. It doesn't have your intuition. It doesn't have your judgment.
You know, using it for the areas that it's good and then mixing in our own magic, I think is a good combination. Just my two cents. So anyway, it's been a great discussion. Love and appreciate everyone. Thank you so much, Ashley, and everyone who came out today. Guys, let's get out there, take action, go for your dreams. You have greatness within. Unleash it upon the world is my recommendation, and we hope to hear you back tomorrow on the Grow Rich Mastermind. Take care, and bye for now.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you, Paul.
We are the Grow Rich Family, helping others reach their destiny. We are the Grow Rich Family, speaking truth, wisdom, and harmony. We are the Grow Rich Family, growing strong each and every day. We are the Grow Rich Family, living free with prosperity. We are the Grow Rich Family, helping others reach their destiny. We are the Grow Rich Family, speaking truth, wisdom, and harmony.